I am so honored this evening to present our guest speaker. God has done an amazing thing. In fact, back in September, when I had the opportunity to go out to Living Way Church Maui and to share with them, Pastor Greg put, he's like, "Hey, have you picked out your mission conference speaker yet?" I said, "No, I haven't. He goes, "I got an idea." He's like, have you talked to Josh Lockhart? And I was like, "No, I haven't. But I mean, I know him. He's a friend of mine, but I had never thought about him." Pastor Greg said, "Oh, you need to consider him." So I said, "Well, I'll pray about it." Like I tell, you know, Pastor Greg all the time, I'll pray about it. Right. And then, sure enough, you know, God put that on my heart. He's like, "You know, Greg's right. Josh would be an amazing mission conference speaker." So I called him up a few weeks after that. And you know what he said? "I'll pray about it." You know? And he got back to me and he said, "Okay, Pastor Daniel, I'm ready. I'm a little bit nervous about this, but I'm ready." Josh was installed as the associate pastor of Living Way Church Maui. How long ago? A couple of weeks ago. Maybe a couple months ago. Not assistant pastor. And Josh is in charge of and runs their entire Wednesday night service. And I've heard amazing things. I'm going to tell you a little bit more story. No? It's Thursday? Why'd you tell me Wednesday? Okay. He does Wednesday, Thursday, every night. Anyways, we're blessed to have him. So I want you guys to welcome Pastor Josh Lockhart.
Hello. I get to use this sassy mic, yeah? They're like, John was telling me, like, "Oh, don't bump it, don't do this, don't do that." I'm like, "All right, well, we're going to learn." But, you know, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so honored. First of all, Pastor Daniel and Athena, thank you guys. And Living Way Church Poly, thank you guys so much for considering me and praying and just offering this amazing, amazing experience and chance to be able to be God's mouthpiece for your guys' church. And as well as Pastor Doug and Miss Val, thank you guys for just starting this legacy of missions conference and God just lighting you guys on fire and then lighting everyone else on fire. You know, it's just like, brah, this is awesome. And then especially thank you to Pastor Greg and Auntie Bev. I can honestly stand here and tell you guys that if it wasn't for what you guys do, and then what you guys did to them, I would not be here. When I got ordained, I remember just thinking of the moment that I became friends with Josh Dela Cruz and how that changed my entire life forever. Yeah, and that's what missions is about, is to create relationships and change their lives forever. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. That we get to be invited. I'm glad you guys got your invite, yeah, from the King. Got your invite from the King, right? You guys are all here. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords invites you to be a part of this great mission, this great adventure to embark upon with Him. Yeah? So, as well as Pastor Mark, thank you so much as well for everything you do. And also, I don't know if she's watching, but Mom, shout out. Thank you for letting me use your flat screen tonight. So missions conference, we are the ends of the earth. That's the theme of the conference, correct? Yeah? In Acts 1:8, it says this, and I'm going to start in verse 3. Sorry if it looks like I'm going to scowl at you. I'm trying to read the little words on the screen back there. It says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' They gathered around him and asked, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates my Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" Yeah? Pastor Daniel asked me, and he gave me this theme, and I'm like, what does that even mean? We are the ends of the earth. And he gave me this idea, this concept. Look at how far the gospel has come. Yeah? What was that little eyebrows raised there, Faye? Hey, just a warning. If I know your name, and I'm not afraid to call you out. But for those of you that have that attend to Living Way Church recently, Pastor Daniel's been talking about this, yeah? How far? Man, look at how far the gospel has come. 33 AD, Jesus gives this proclamation, yeah? He says, man, don't go nowhere. Wait until you receive the promise that I told you about that my dad said he's going to give you. Then you can go. Yeah? Basically this is what he says. Stay here, wait for the promise, then you will have the ability, the power to be my witnesses and to make disciples of all nations. And it happens. Yeah? We continue to read on in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit comes. Bam! Pentecost. Everybody's tongue of fire. Oh, bro, that guy's drunk. No. Peter goes, no. They're not as drunk as you suppose. No. You guys are getting this wrong. This is what Joel said. For I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Yeah? Yes. Boom, Pentecost. And what happens? Peter gives this amazing, crazy message. Here's the guy who just finished denying Jesus one day. And now he's giving this amazing, thrilling, makes you want to go and reach the world message. And it says in his word, it says they were cut to the heart. And here we see in Acts 2:41, it says, to those who believed what Peter had said were baptized and added to the church that day. About 3,000 in all. Man, the power that comes in when Jesus says, wait for what I'm about to give you. When you receive it and you obey. Boom, man, 3,000 people in one day. That's, man, look at how far the gospel has come. Yeah? Yes. Tonight, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at how far the gospel has come and how the Holy Spirit, the gift that he said, Jesus said, wait, right? Wait. My Holy Spirit, my Father's Spirit's going to come. My Spirit's going to come. He's going to lead you. And he's going to guide you. He's going to show you where to go, who to speak to, who to talk to, what to talk to them about. And obviously, the gospel started with Jesus. Yes. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as it was his custom. He went to the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read, and the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this spirit has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is saying, guys, you heard Moses and all the prophets talk about this. Ta-da! It's here. It's here. This is what I've come to do. I've been anointed. Though it says the Holy Spirit was upon him, anointed him to do it. And then look what it says. Look what he says to John the Baptist, right? His guys, John the Baptist's disciples, come up to Jesus and they go, eh. John wanted us to come over here and ask you, are you the guy? Are you the guy? You the guy that we're waiting for, right? And this is what Jesus says to him. Jesus says, go and tell John of what you see and hear, that the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended to me. What does he say to them? He says, tell John what you see and what you hear. Man, that Jesus is going out and he's displaying the gospel message. He's showing what the gospel will live and look like. Right. Yeah? And then go back and tell John, this is what I saw. I didn't just hear this. I saw it. I saw that he's the guy. He's the guy that Moses said. He's the guy that Daniel said. He's the guy that we've been waiting for. Acts 10:38. I love this verse because it simply says, Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's the gospel, man. That's what Jesus did. He displayed the gospel with his life. He showed us how to live. Yeah? How did he do it? He went around doing good for everybody. Yeah? Healing people. You see that? You see the brother or sister next to you is downhearted. Man, reach out to them. That's what Jesus did. It's the gospel. How do you live? I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. Man, just build a relationship. Be friends with them. I love what Pastor Greg says. He goes, when I was raising my kids, my kids would complain, oh, I don't have friends. Well, your job isn't to have friends. Your job is to be a friend. Be a friend to everyone and anyone. And soon enough, you're going to find that you are surrounded by all these people who are your friends. Yeah? That's what Jesus did, man. That's what Jesus did. Jesus showed them how the gospel would look like. And the Holy Spirit showed them where to take it. Let's look at Matthew. Jesus gives this teaching right before he's about to go on his final push to Jerusalem to be crucified and be tried and ultimately to die for us. This is what it says. He sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See to that you're not alarmed. For this is, for it must take place. But the end is not yet. For the nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birthing pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness, lawlessness will be increased and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Skipping to verse 26, it says, so then if they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, don't go out there. They say, look, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and shines as far as to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two things I want us to think about. One, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed through the whole world, and then the end will come. And number two, for as lightning comes from the east unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. With that thought in mind of how far has the gospel come, we're going to look at, as you put that picture up there, this is a picture of the Mount of Olives. How's it, Masi? So if you look, I've lovely put a circle around it. And that vantage point is the Mount of Olives, all right? So that, if you're looking, pretend we're looking here, right? That is east. Everyone say east. So that means this direction is what? And this direction is? And that is? So everyone say east. So east is the Mount of Olives. That's the direction in which it's pointing. Just beyond the Mount of Olives is a town called Bethany. Bethany is where Lazarus was raised from the dead. It's where Mary and Martha live. Mary, where you live? I live in Bethany. I live in Bethany with my sister Martha. But that's where Jesus gets anointed, right? Then he goes to the Mount of Olives, does some ministry, and then he makes his final push to go to Jerusalem. So he goes from Bethany to the Mount of Olives, right where that circle, that area is. He goes into Jerusalem. The Hosanna scene comes in. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. He goes in there. He goes back to have the Last Supper back in Bethany. And then he goes. So you gotta imagine this. He's going east and west. East and west. There you go, Caleb. I like it. Okay? He goes east, and then his final push, he goes from the Mount of Olives. Then you go to the next slide. That circle is the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes from east in Bethany to the Mount of Olives, further west. Then he goes further west to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, if you go and turn 180 around to where this picture was taken, is that the next slide? Yep. It's the temple. So Jesus goes from Bethany to the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane, all going west, right into the temple. This is what the temple would have looked like if it stood today. Boom, right in there. He comes in. He gets tried. He gets scourged over there. Then he goes further west. They take him out of the city to crucify him. They go further west and they bury him. He's risen from the dead. He's around for about 40 days, as we read in the scripture. And then it says, and then he gives this proclamation again in Acts 1:8. And this is where we see he's right about to rise. He's right about to be taken up into heaven. And he gives this proclamation. Man, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And when they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them with white robes and said, men of Galilee, why are you standing looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way that you have saw him go into heaven. Where am I going with all of this? Let's look at how far the gospel has come. Through Jesus' life and ministry, he shows us what direction his message is going to go. For as lightning travels from the east unto the west, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Amen? So, okay, yeah, sorry. I misread the thing. Jesus showed them how to live the gospel out, right? And then the Holy Spirit comes and shows them where to take it. Okay? Acts 11. We see here, so persecution of the church starts happening, right? They start saving a bunch of people. Then the Pharisees get all mad. They get all nuts. And then Stephen gets killed. He gets martyred. And then the church disperses, right? Man, Holy Spirit, man. He just wants to show you where to go. Things are going to happen and you're going to start going places that you're not going to go. One of the cool words that Pastor Greg spoke over me, for my ordination was when Peter was in jail and then he's praying and an angel showed up and it says that he follows the angel, but he doesn't know where the angel is taking him. Yeah. Man, you got to be ready. You got to be ready to follow the Spirit. Even though you don't know where he's going to take you. Right. Just go, man. Just go. So anyway, Acts 11, we begin to see that the gospel is beginning to reach the Gentiles. Acts 11:4, it says, soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea, and the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. You entered the home of Gentiles? Even with them, they said, then Peter told them exactly what had happened. And I'm going to summarize this a little bit. He goes in, he's getting criticized by his homies, right? His homies, the other apostles. And he goes, no, guys, I had this crazy vision. Like, you don't even know. Like, okay, you might be thinking this is weird, but so I saw this, like, I was praying, right? And I saw this sheet come down. And there's all this, like, food on it. And all of a sudden God was like, yeah, man, hey, Peter, go ahead and eat it. No, oh God, man, no, God. Man, I keep the Torah. I'm kosher, man. I follow all the rules. I follow all the rules. I won't eat pig. I won't eat that. No way, man. You know? What you said? Eel. Eels too, man. I don't eat that. And God, that's when God gives him that rebuke, man. He goes, Peter, you're getting it all wrong. Don't call something unclean that I have called clean. Then he wakes up from his vision and all of a sudden he sees these guys that are standing by him and they're Gentiles. And they're like, hey, this might be sound kind of weird, but this angel showed up and said, we got to go come over here and look for you. He named your name and we're here. So you want to come with us? And Peter's like, bro, I just had this crazy vision. Let's go, you know, and he goes. That's exactly what happened. So he goes and then he has another vision of this guy in Macedonia. And he's like, come on, please, Peter, we need your help. We need your help. And Peter's like, wakes up and, Paul. Then Paul wakes up and he's like, we gotta go, you know? And then all of a sudden, Pentecost happens for the Gentiles. Peter is speaking to, I messed up. Anyway. Peter is speaking to the Gentiles, and all of a sudden, he's like telling his friends back in Jerusalem or whatever, and he's like, bruh, these guys started speaking in tongues the way that we spoke in tongues on Pentecost. That's how I knew it was time for the Gentiles to receive the message of God. This is what they say in Acts 11:18. It says, when they heard these things, they fell silent, and they all glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. So, along with the believers scattering because of the persecution, the church began to move westward. Yeah, we'll see in Acts 16, it says this. And they went to a region called Phrygia and, Galatia, thank you, the lights. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Now, take note. It says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And then they had come up to Maria and they attempted to go to Bethania, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go. So by passing Mysia, they went down to Troas, and the vision appeared to Paul, at night with a man from Macedonia saying, come, we need your help, please. Immediately, Paul seen the vision and sought to go to Macedonia and concluded that God has called him to preach the gospel to them. So Jesus shows through his life and through his ministry. You awake?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Through his life and through his ministry, which way the direction of the gospel will go. And then we see the Holy Spirit moving on the apostles, moving certain things in key places. I told you, bro, I wasn't lying. Where the gospel was going to go, right? So this is a map. You probably should have had that up there earlier when I was talking. My bad. No map? It's okay. Anyway, it's a map of, not that one, that's too early. It's all right. So basically, it's a map of Paul's missionary journey, and all it shows is them going west instead of east. They want to go this way, they want to go that way, but the Holy Spirit says, no. And then he gets the vision, he says, go this way. This is Macedonia, this is where I want you to go. Everyone say Acts 29. We got any Bible scholars in here? Yeah, I heard the chuckles. Acts, the book of Acts isn't done. You're Acts 29. You're a part of the westward move of the gospel. Amen? The 29th chapter went west, yeah? How's that old movie? Yeah, 5-0 goes west. Yeah, 5-0 goes west. Come on, guys, let's go. We're going to give a brief history of the church, and we're going to look at the... Is everything okay back there? Yes, there we go. So brief history of the church, 33 to the early 300s, we see the early church, the gospel begin to just flourish over there in the Middle East, in Turkey, and Greece, and we just see it just start to erupt, and eventually it continues to move westward, right? In the 1300s, we have the Middle Ages, yeah, the Renaissance with John Wycliffe, Then in the 1500s, the Reformation period with Martin Luther and John Calvin, faith in God, you know, all of that good stuff. So the first 1700 years of the Gospels cruising, like just hanging out on earth with the Gospel being moved and used by everyone, the hot spot was Europe. That's where the Gospel, that's where God just planted it for 1700 years and just let it marinate. And started, because we know, if we know, the church started to lose some of its main heart of what and who following Jesus was, right? Then they sent guys like John Wycliffe and Martin Luther to unveil, and really the Holy Spirit putting upon these men's hearts to unleash the beast, you could say, of the Gospel, and coming in and like, yeah, I want to save, she can save the lost. Anyway. Are you guys? You good? We're good. So, and then the 1700s is the modern era. We get the first great awakening with John Wesley. That's where we get Methodists and Baptists and Congregationalists, Presbyterians. 1800s, we get the second great awakening with the Restoration Movement, unity of the body, amen. In 1900, we get the third great awakening. Pentecostals start coming up, and Charismatics, and the Holy Spirit just lets loose. And just starts showing them and really bringing the Gospel back to the heart of what it once was, right? Because there's all this talk, oh, no, the Holy Spirit's done moving. And then Pentecost happens again in the Great Awakening, right? Someone say we're not done. The hot spot of America, or the hot spot began to be America for 300 years. For that next period of 300 years, America just marinated in the Gospel, right? And we get to see evidence of that, yeah? On our money, the Pledge of Allegiance. I say the Pledge of Allegiance every day, Monday through Friday at work. I work at a school, and we still say under God. Thank you, Jesus. But how cool is that? Again, look at how far the Gospel has come. I heard Pastor Daniel say in his message a couple weeks ago, he was talking about me, and he goes, man, our missions conference speaker is coming from a little island in the middle of the vast Pacific Ocean. How the heck did the Gospel get there? How in the world did it get from Jerusalem, some 7,000 miles away, all the way to this? And man, if you guys don't know, Hawaii is a miracle. Hawaii is a miracle, man. How in the world are these just random islands in the middle of the ocean? You know what I mean? Like, there's no other land masses for like thousands of miles in other directions. We're blessed, man. We're blessed. a little joke. A Hebrew pastor. He's Jewish. Pastor Rob Finberg. He goes, I took a class from him, and he goes, there's two guys, right? They just died, and they're in heaven, and they're walking through the gates, and they're arguing. What language do you think God's gonna speak when He talks to us? Oh, I think He's gonna speak Hebrew. Nah. He's done speaking Hebrew. He's gonna speak this. And they're arguing over it. And then finally, they're like, oh, it's about to happen. And the gates open up, and all you hear is, aloha! You should have known. We know. But for real, guys, during that time, for real, he's going to speak Hawaiian. Okay. All right. Let's not get into a debate. During that time, God made it possible for Hawaii to hear the Gospel. And if you get a chance, come and talk to us, man. Hawaii was primed for the Gospel to come. And you can hear more about it later. But by the 1850s, over 90% of all Hawaiians were professing Christians. 90% of all Hawaiian people converted to Christianity. Over 90% of the people could read and write. We became the most literate nation in the world at that time. We became the biggest church in the world at that time. Hilo had the biggest church of over 10,000 in a little town of over like 500 people that lived there. People would travel for weeks, days in advance to come in and hear this Gospel. Crazy, right? We're not done. Because we're only in the middle of the Pacific, right? We're going west. To the west. Everybody spread the gospel to the West. Thanks, Beyonce. Okay. Asia. Asia becomes the hotspot ever since 1989-ish. The fall of the Iron Curtain happens, and it just, man, God ordained kings and kingdoms, and he has everything set into place. Like Cyrus, right? Cyrus, this king. All of a sudden, woo, it moves on his heart. Let the people of Israel go back to their land and build a temple. Nah, that was God. That was God. He didn't eat a bad lao lao, you know? It was God. The revival in China is happening, guys. The hotspot for the gospel has been Asia for the last 20 years. Every single day, on average, there are 50,000 people in China alone coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? I don't think you guys grasp how amazing that is. I looked it up, and this is an old census. It was like 2011. There are 49,000 whatever people that live in Poway. Imagine the amount of people that live in Poway coming to know the Lord every single day. I don't think you guys are getting it. There's a revival going on. Back to Jerusalem. In China, and they're not like us, right? Where we can come in and we can parade around the cross and all this stuff. And I love Jesus and introduce yourself as a Jesus lover if that's what you want to do. Man, they're persecuted for their faith. They gotta hide. They do all these. I remember seeing a long time ago when I still was on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook anymore. But there's this video of all these people, these Chinese people, and there's this mad scramble, and it looks like Black Friday, honestly. It looks like a Black Friday sale gone wrong. And it's all these Chinese people, and they're like, yeah! And come to find out, somebody smuggled in a whole bunch of Bibles, and they're going crazy. They're like, finally I got my hands on the Word of God and I can read it on my own and I can do my Bible study and I can make a small group and I can hide in my basement or however they do it. But their mentality is this, is that they're not afraid. They believe that God is training them up to finish the mission. They believe that there's a group, I think it's called Asia Harvest. There's a group of over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that their belief and their goal is that God is believing that they're believing that God is training them up to take the gospel the rest of the way. They believe that if I'm going through this nut stuff now, man, I only got to continue to experience it in the Middle East and all of that other stuff. Now take me there, God. That's their mentality. That's their attitude. Now you can put up that other map if you want. The one, there you go. They call this the 1040 window. Everybody say the 1040 window. 1040 window. Oh, wait. Put up the other one real fast. Can you see this is a census that the Chinese government has taken of their population. Of professing Christians. Yeah? Fine? Okay. Professing Christians. Can you see an illustration of the gospel moving westward? Yeah? Look, here's the east, right? And it's moving westward. As it's moving, more people are coming to know Christ. Isn't that crazy? That's amazing. Now you can put up the 1040 window as we wrap up. This is the 1040 window. It's the last place considered on earth where the gospel has not yet been reached. It's included 57 nations, a total population of over 3.6 billion people, which is over 60% of the world's population. And it possibly could be reached in our lifetime. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
That's the last push, guys. It's the last push of the gospel. Put up that other one. This is a diagram in the 1040 window of the religious, what they claim is in those countries. What is their religion? We see Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and non-religious in China. Man, God wants you guys to start to get stirred up, man. We're on the cusp of Jesus coming back soon. Because what did it say? What did it say in Matthew? When the good news comes, is preached to all the earth, then the end will come. We're almost there. We're almost there. I remember we had a conversation. I had a conversation with a couple of the youth leaders at a youth camp, and we asked each other, "Man, would you want to grow old and die, or you want to live long enough to see Jesus come back?" Man, I want to be that guy up in heaven, like, bruh, I was there when Jesus came back to earth and all that stuff. You were there? You were there? We got to watch from heaven, but man, it must have been nuts on earth. Oh man, let me tell you about how nuts it was on earth. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be that guy in heaven. Like, I saw him come back on the cloud. I saw him. You know, like, man, I get it all excited. Like, come on, Lord. But guys, this is what God wants to do. He wants to stir us up to finish the mission, to push the rest of the way, right? How many of you guys like to surf or skateboard? Young people? No? All right. There's a group in kind of similar to what Brian was there, man. Sorry. Brian is doing in his organization. There's a organization called Surfing the Nations. It's based in Honolulu, Hawaii. And they go out, and what they do is, because a lot of these nations, they don't allow missionaries, but they'll allow people to come in and surf. So this organization comes in, and they go to the rural villages, and they surf with the kids. They surf with the people. They bring hygiene. They bring clothes. They bring toys. They bring fresh water. They bring all these things. And they get to come in, and like Brian said, build relationships. And begin to show them the gospel through their lives. Yeah? One of my friends just came back from North Korea with Surfing the Nations. Yeah, I saw your eyebrows on that one. I did the same thing. I was like, no, you did not go to North Korea. He's like, bro, I went to North Korea. And I was like, what do you do there? He's like, I surfed. And I taught the kids how to skateboard. And I taught them how to draw. I went around doing good, healing all who was oppressed by the devil. I did what Jesus does. I lived out the gospel in North Korea, and I built relationships. I'm going to go back. God wants you to set you on fire tonight, man. We still have a ways to go. This is just the first night, right? Continue to stir this up, man, this heart of, I want to finish the mission. I want to go into that 1040 window or wherever it may be that God, you feel like God is calling you to. And I want to be Jesus' hands and feet where I go. Yeah? Matthew 28:19. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen? You gonna come up? Oh yeah, I forgot. In this moment, as we close, I'd like to invite our hula halau to come up. And as a ohana, everyone knows what ohana means, right? You guys watch Lilo and Stitch? It's not that. Ohana means family. No one gets left behind or forgotten. Kind of. But in this hula that I want to share with you, it's a gift from our ohana to your ohana. And it's welcoming you into and really showing you that we are all one ohana. We are all one family in Christ. To come together and finish the mission that God has called us to do.